This evening we're starting at verse 3 of Revelation chapter 8 for a simple review, and then we'll be looking at verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Revelation chapter 18. This morning we noticed that the angel came and spoke to John, and the Bible tells us that he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, "Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Now, we notice that Babylon has fallen. And there are three reasons given here in verse 3. First of all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath for fornication. It simply means that the nations of the earth became intoxicated with her glory and with her power and with the result of her union with church and state, and by her unparalleled and altogether beautiful system of false worship. Then the Bible tells us that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That is, those men who have held power have joined with her. They have come to her bed and have shared their political power with her. And in so doing, they have brought persecution and bloodshed to the people of God. And then the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. This creation of the Babylonian system added tremendously to the commercial needs of all of the people of the world, and especially in this great city that is built in the land of Shinar. The Bible tells us that the earth has become extremely rich through the power, and that's what the word abundance here is, really the word power, through the power or the desire that this political and religious system has for insolent and unbounded and unbound wealth and power. Now, it simply means that this system sits on all the population of the world, ruling them politically, influencing them religiously, and now the angel has announced that this particular system is fallen, and that simply means it has become desolate. And because of that particular reason, then the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth are to mourn. Let's look now at verses 4 and 5, where God makes a plea for people to come out of this particular system and to come out of this city of Babylon. Now, this is why I believe that not only are we speaking of a system, but we're speaking also of a real city that will exist someday at the end of the reign of Antichrist. Perhaps it will exist earlier. These 10 kings that we noticed in chapter 17, they helped to make the beast the ruler of the world. They turn on religious Babylon. The Bible tells us that they burn her with fire, and they eat her flesh, and they destroy her, and yet they join in with the economic side of the Antichrist and build this great city, and it evidently plays the principal part politically in the last years of this earth's existence as we know it today, that is, prior to the millennial reign of Christ. Now, I believe it's a system because God is saying in verses 4 and 5, come out of her. Notice, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Now, it's rather unique that this plea is made here at this particular time, unless there are people who can respond to the plea that God makes. And I don't think that God makes or gives an invitation that cannot be accepted by those people to whom it is given. So I think today there are some of God's people in this false religious system who are giving their money, their time, and their energy to it. And because of that, God is saying, come out of this system. Come out of this chaos. Come out of this particular circumstance. Notice his plea. Come out of her, my people. It really is a better term to say depart. Not simply casually come out of this system, but depart. It has in it the idea of crises. Come out, depart out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. And that word is translated in other places, partners. You don't want to be a partner with Satan. You don't want to be a partner with Antichrist system. You don't want to be a partner to this evil generation in which we live. So come out of her. Why? That you receive not of her plagues. Again, that word plagues means wound. God is going to wound this system unto death. And the Bible indicates that this particular part of the devil's empire is going to end in 1 hour. And God says for his people, and I think the only conclusion we can make it there that is that there are some people in this system and they're to come out of it, for her sins have reached unto heaven. The word reached here is a very peculiar word. It means to stick to or to join together, like you would lay a brick or stones and join them together with mortar. And therefore he's saying, for her sins have been joined or piled together until that ever-growing mass rises skyward and higher until it reaches unto heaven. Now think with me just a minute. You remember when the people were going to build the Tower of Babel? They were going to build a tower that would reach into heaven. I don't think they would have literally built one that literally would have reached into the presence of God. But they disobeyed God and built the tower that was magnificent and mighty in its appearance, that gathered the population of the world around it and kept them together rather than dispersing as God had commanded them to do. Now here the very same circumstance is mentioned, except now the sins of this system have been piling up and piling up, and they've been amassing until they have reached into the very heavens of God Almighty. It's not a tower, though, of beauty and a tower of glory. It's not something that brings credit to the human race. But every brick is cemented together with evil. Every stone of it is a result of fornication, lying, thieving, immorality of every sort, homosexuality, everything that mankind in his right mind ought to abhor and reject, and everything we ought to be incensed about and angered about. That's what this great mass of sins is composed of. Now, her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. The word iniquity comes from a word that means bad state or condition. And it means the wicked act of the mind that delights in evil. Now, this is not just some wrongdoing that someone got involved in because of the weakness of their flesh. These things are the result of an evil mind that literally delights in doing the things that God Almighty forbids. God says, come out of her, my people, because we will partake of her judgment if we don't come out of her. And the Bible tells us that God remembers the sins and the iniquities of this system because her sins have reached into heaven itself. Now God then gives the standard of judgment for Babylon. And some way, somehow, I'm sure that those who've already found some reason to doubt God and have found some reason to cast aspersion upon divine revelation are stunned by the things that God has done right here in these verses of Scripture. But they are not foreign to the mind and purpose of God, and they're not new to the book of Revelation. For instance, in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 137, David even spoke with this same kind of authority. Psalm 137, verse 7, remember, O Lord, the children of Eden, of Edom in the day of Jerusalem. Now listen to this very carefully. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Now here the writer is saying, and by the way, this is a hymn or psalm that has to do with the captivity of Israel. If you notice verse 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion, Jerusalem. And the writer's saying, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, that is when they came in and captured the city, raise it. Now, that's an old English word that means to make bare, destroy it completely. Destroy it, even to the foundation thereof. And they repeat that request or that command in their evil hearts and minds. They say and cry out, destroy the city of God. Make it bare, destroy it. Bring it down to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. Now notice, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that takes and dashes thy little ones against the stones. One of the common practices of those people who conquered Jerusalem, the Babylonian people, was to take an infant by its feet and take it and dash or simply swing it and burst its head against a wall. And that's what happened when these people came into the city of Jerusalem. All the infants, when they found one, they picked it up by its legs and then crashed its head against rocks, killing it instantly. And this writer is saying, happy will be the people who repay this kind of wickedness against this system that's known as the system of Babylon. This is what God is saying. Reward her even as she rewarded you. It's kind for kind. That is, whatever she did, whatever Babylon has done, the kind of cruelty that she's practiced, then practice this kind of cruelty against her with this exception. Double it. And double unto her. Double according to her works. Doesn't sound like this merciful God, this all-forgiving God, this kind God, this grandfatherly God who really doesn't care whether you live right or not. He's so forgiving that it doesn't make any of what you do. God just pats you on the head and stroke his gray beard and say, that'll be all right. After all, you didn't really understand. It'll just be fine. And this is the God of vengeance. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's no longer the Lamb that died for our sins. Now he's the avenger of the wrongs that have been done in this world against the people of God specifically. Kind for kind, but give it double. Now, notice how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. The word glorified means praise. How much she hath what? Praised herself. Look at false religion right now. Look at the commercial world right now. Who do they praise? Who do they talk about? Who do they give glory to themselves? They praise themselves and give glory to themselves. And glorified herself and lived deliciously. Well, pretty difficult to define living deliciously. But one translator has said that it means to live hard, to revel. And I think this is exemplified by our high energy lifestyle. Have you noticed that people are trimming their bodies and they're exercising? They're getting their heart rate up just as high as they can get it. They're losing all the weight they can lose. They're getting just as much stamina packed into their physical bodies they can possibly get. Why do they want their bodies this tough and this filled with stamina? Many of them want it so they can delve into sin into a greater degree. And this is exactly what this word means. These people have actually equip themselves to live hard and fast, to get into the fast lane and stay there and keep up with all of the things that the world is doing. Now, just as she has glorified herself and lived in the fast lane, so much torment, and this word torment is a word that means torture. It means to torture, and the word sorrow means to mourn, a lamenting. And I think this is what God is saying. For every honor, give dishonor. For every hour of reveling, give two of torture. Kind for kind, double it. And then bring down this woman, torture her, kill her children, burn her with fire. This is God's judgment upon this woman. Now, you say, why doesn't God extend forgiveness? Why does God speak so harshly against this system? Well, there are three reasons, and they're given to us in these next verses. Here's Babylon's arrogance. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen. Now notice the arrogance. I sit a queen. You know, just as Jesus Christ has his bride, and we'll be studying that just a little bit later, evidently this system becomes the bride of Antichrist, at least for a little while. Just as Jesus comes with the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband, so the Antichrist evidently builds this gigantic and unimaginably wealthy city. Now he himself also has a bride, a pseudo bride, a false bride, if you please, because she says, I sit as a queen. And she says, number two, and am no widow. Now that literally means, never in any wise shall I be a widow. In other words, I sit a queen. I will never be a widow because my husband, the king, will never die. She has so much confidence, so much arrogant pride in this king that has come and
instituted this system in its fullness and brought it to its very peak of power, to its very peak of glory. She has so much confidence in Him and His power to conquer everything that is good and to destroy even God Almighty and to destroy everything that God has done and rule the world forever, sitting upon the people of the world as a queen. I sit as a queen. I shall never be a widow, and I shall see no sorrow. Don't expect me to ever shed a tear. I will never know grief. Those dear people of God, the Israelites, their towns and cities pillaged and plundered and carried into captivity, and their infants with their brains dashed out against rock walls, torn apart, cut apart, every imaginable kind of torture you can imagine, families broken apart. Look at all the tears that the people of God have shed. Look at the tears that Jesus shed. Look at the tears that the apostles shed. And look at the tears that millions of God's martyrs and prophets have shed since the death of John the Baptist and Stephen and Paul and all the others that have died for the truth of God. And yet this whore, this prostitute, clothed in purple and scarlet, sitting in all of her glory and saying, "You'll never make me cry. I'll never sorrow." And this kind of arrogance, God says, "I will repay. Kind for kind, double." And just as she has said, "I sit a queen. I'll never be a widow, and I'll never know sorrow." God says, therefore. You know, wonder how many people have gotten everything they needed in life, got everything all straightened out. They have every kind of luxury and every kind of convenience. Never known sorrow. Never known grief. I wonder how many of them sit well pleased with themselves, totally at ease with the world and with themselves. And they don't realize that someday God will say of their life, "Therefore." Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Isn't it strange that because the hearts of men is set in them to do wickedly, that because sentence against an evil work is not speedily executed, that the hearts of sinners is set in them to do evil? You know, what God is trying to say is that this is not payday for His people, and it's not payday for Babylon. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. That is the wound, the stroke, the blow. One day, sunrise to sunset. I have every reason to believe that is a literal Jewish day. Death. Now notice what God is going to give to this woman who says, this system who says, this city who says, "I sit as a queen. I shall never be widowed, and I shall never know sorrow." Notice the three things that God gives to her. Death. Death. Thanatos, death. Mourning, which means to bewail and lament. And famine. That word literally means failure. Want as a food. God simply repays in kind what this woman has done, what she's felt, and what she said. And in one hour, in one day, she experiences death, mourning, and famine. Now notice, and she shall utterly be burned with fire.
The words that are translated to burn other means burn to the ground. You remember the cry against Jerusalem when they came in to conquer it and they said, what are we going to do with this city? And they said, burn it! Burn it! And God said, Babylon will burn to the ground. Burn it! Burn it to the ground! Any way we look at Babylon, she's evil. She must be burned to the ground. And you say, how can this be? How can it happen? If that's such a fantastic political system, if it's such a powerful system, if it's such an indestructible system as far as man is concerned, how can it be? For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Great is the God who looks into her, divides and separates and makes final judgment. God is greater. God is more powerful. And God will judge her. You say, but Brother Penn, this is so unbelievable, so cruel, so bloodthirsty, so... When I hear of Babylon being burned and ruined, I simply want to cry. Well, be looking at what happens in heaven when Babylon catches fire and burns to the ground. God says, rejoice over her. And you know, in verse 19, they cry hallelujah while Babylon burns. The saints of God in heaven shout hallelujah while Babylon burns. That's how wicked and vile she is.